Good morning, everyone. We're just about to sing our pre-service hymn, which we picked out because we thought it fitted the theme of the week. We don't think we need to say anything more about it. The words are so explanatory.
Thank you very much for the lovely singing and playing. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, lovely response. What a great morning. It's beautiful and sunny again. Makes you feel really alive, doesn't it? It's fantastic. Right, so a bit to crack on with, so I'll just get going. Welcome to everybody, whether you're a regular here, whether you're new, whether you're visiting maybe for the second or third time, you're all very welcome. It would be great to see you as well afterwards for some coffee and a bit of a chat in the coffee bar. We're excited and very pleased to welcome Inderjit, so Reverend Dr. Inderjit Bogal, who is going to lead our service today. And the subject is Sanctuary Church. A wee bit of a plug here. Inderjit has written a book, which he only has a couple of copies left of because he managed to get rid of most of them yesterday at the General Synod in Northampton, is that right? Anyway, if it's called Hospitality and Sanctuary for All, I have it on good authority, it's a very interesting read. If you'd like a copy, I've put a little piece of paper at the back, so if you'd like to sign up for a copy, then Indigit can order some more. It's not, you know, there's no RRP on it or anything, but he has requested a donation of £5 per copy. So if you're interested, please do sign up on the sign sheet at the back of church. Okay, our readers this morning are Fred and Mary, and our prayers of intercession will be led by Graham. If you'd like someone to pray with you or for you after the service, we will have our prayer team under the stained glass window after the service as normal. Right, a couple of notices. I have another plea from Jane Davies. On the 15th of April, we launched a follow-on course for Alpha, to which all past Alpha guests were invited to come and explore the Christian faith further. It's called Alpha Plus, and it lasts for 9 weeks. My plea on Jane's behalf a couple of weeks ago for help in stocking up the freezer with cakes for these Alpha Plus evenings has unfortunately gone largely unanswered, with only one cake being offered for last week. So I'm kind of repeating the request on Jane's behalf now for cakes, biscuits, tray bakes, anything you love making, to go to Jane for her to put in the freezer, so she's got a bit of a stockpile ready for these Wednesday evenings. Thank you. Monday fellowship will be held tomorrow, 2 p.m. in the Wesley Room, and the Reverend Charles Harris is going to be giving a talk on a topic I don't know what. Brenda Woods has requested that I ask for some help to cut out some feet, which sounds a bit strange. Just a few weeks after Easter comes Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and the experience team are getting ready to welcome over 200 year five children to come to experience Pentecost. They're the same children who came to learn about Easter. They come from the primary schools all in the local area. It's a great opportunity for us to share this part of our story, but we do need some help to cut out some footprints. Now, there are sheets of paper, again, at the back of the church. If you fancy taking a few sheets, I think they've been bundled into 10, is that right, Geraldine, did you say? 3 feet per page, 10 sheets. If you've got a pair of scissors at home, all you need to do is just basically cut out the shapes of the feet. Yes, ably shown off here by Celia. Anyway, your help would be greatly appreciated by Brenda and her experience team. If you can bring them back to church next Sunday, or if you're not going to be in church, if you could drop them into the office sometime during the week, during office hours, that would be hugely appreciated. Thank you. One last thing before I let Indigit get on. Suitcases for asylum seekers. The Asylum Seekers in Hotel in Whitney is closing in the middle of next month, and the 80 remaining residents are being moved elsewhere. But to help us with this, Nikki Paris of Volunteer Link Up, which is based upstairs here, is looking for large suitcases or similar. The bags, she says, we are after are medium to large suitcases, large duffel bags, or large bags like, she says, like the IKEA ones. I'm not sure what she means by that. Anyway, basically, they need to pack all their items and clothing into one bag per person, so the larger the better. So if you're able to provide something suitable, please deliver it to Volunteer Link upstairs here at church. That would be brilliant. Thank you. So can we just have a moment of prayer before I let Indigit come up and carry on? Heavenly Father, we come before you today eager to learn about Sanctuary Church from Indigit and how he and his team in Sheffield are making a difference in their local community by offering hospitality, their time, skills and kindness to those most in need of these. We pray that your spirit will move powerfully among us this morning through the words of Indigit, and that your guiding hand will help us to follow his example of your teachings more closely as we leave this place and go out into the everyday world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We'll start this morning's worship with the call to worship, which takes the form of Psalm 46. So I want you to respond with the words that are in the yellow type, please, as I lead you through. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains tremble in the heart of the sea, though the waters rage and swell, and though the mountains quake at the towering seas. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, therefore shall she not be removed. God shall help her at the break of day. The nations are in uproar, and the kingdoms are shaken. But God utters his voice, and the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he has wrought upon the earth. He makes wars to cease in all the world. He shatters the bow and snaps the spear and burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We're going to sing two hymns back to back, as is our custom sometimes. So we're going to start off with number 15 in the hymn book, if you're following in the book, The Splendour of the King, and then followed by 116, Sing for God's Glory. So please stand if you're able and join in.
The lion and the lamb, the lion and the lamb. Yeah, I greet you all in the name of Christ and wish upon you the peace and blessings of God. It's a real honor and pleasure to come and share in worship with you. So high fives, everyone. Just high fives. High fives to your neighbor. Give your neighbor a high five. Just come on. It's great. So, could you help me to illustrate something? Well, okay, just come here. We've known each other for a little while, me and Bal. We met a long time ago in Wolverhampton, where Richard was a minister in the same congregation where I was for a while. So we've got a bit of a link. And I'm here because Val thought it would be good to have me to share in worship with you. So the high fives, if you go stay there and then go up there and then do that. Okay. Now that is the logo on what's called City of Sanctuary. You can see the logo on the screen. Okay. Originally, when I was beginning to think about this, I created one that was like this. So if you have your arm straight out like that, and I said to people, what does that look like then? What do you think for a logo? And they said, that looks like two crosses. So, well, fine, that's all right, but that's not quite what I had in mind. But what about if we do this and create that? And that became the logo of City of Sanctuary. So thank you for just helping to illustrate that. City of Sanctuary is about building cultures of welcome and hospitality and safety right where you are. Started in Sheffield, where I live. Sheffield became UK's first city of sanctuary, a city in which many organizations are working together to create in our city a kind of a culture in which we would be proud to live, where all are welcome, everyone. And schools, universities, hospitals, places of worship, community organizations, all saying we will do what we can to build a culture of welcome here. So it's a kind of a growing movement. And Sheffield became UK's first city of sanctuary in UK. Now there are over 100 cities, towns, villages, areas, boroughs, places of sanctuary. Two-thirds of our universities in this country are universities of sanctuary. There are scores of schools of sanctuary, hospitals, theatres of sanctuary. And I'm thinking, what about churches? Why are there no churches of sanctuary? If all these people who are not faith-based have got hold of this biblical vision of building safety for everyone, people of all faiths and people who profess no faith have got this vision, why are churches not able to grasp this? So in my dotage as a retired minister, I'm working with churches together in Britain and Ireland to get churches to give some attention to what it is to be a church of sanctuary. And I'm going to focus on that a little bit. And a while ago, when I was living and working in Belfast with the Corrymeela community, I went into the city hall of Belfast and I saw a Celtic proverb on the wall as you go in. And the word said, it is in the shelter of each other that the people live. It is in the shelter of each other that the people shall live. And that really is what City of Sanctuary is all about. It's not about building, it's about creating human relationships, an embrace of each other, and doing what we can, going out of our way to include people, to shelter people, to provide protection, especially for the most vulnerable. I know of the work you've been doing here. Well done to you for the way you've engaged with the hotel where asylum seekers have been given shelter and protection, and the way you've reached out and what I've heard about it. So thank you. And well done. You can go a little bit further than just doing that, but to look at what kind of a church we are and how we embrace and welcome everyone. So yesterday at the synod, that's what I was talking about, and all the churches in the district, I think they are amazing what work is going on in the district. They've gone away to look at what it is to be a church of sanctity. So that's my challenge to you today, and we'll think about this a little bit more in a minute. So as we continue then, loved your music and singing. Thank you for the way you've led us in. If I might take us into some songs of prayer. So we're going to pray with our eyes open, and we'll sing to God. I'm going to lead us in what's called the Peruvian Gloria. You know it, I'm sure of that. Where I'm not a singer or a musician. All I know about music is that the notes go up and down. So we'll try and sing without music. I work with the congregation in Sheffield where there's no music. And we'd love to have you in our congregation. So I have to lead them, and this is how it works. So I sing a line, you repeat it after me, okay? Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. To God, glory to God, glory in the highest. To God be glory forever. Hallelujah, amen. Okay, there you go, you can do it. So, should we put a bit of rhythm into it? All right. Do that. Come on. That's the pace we're going to go at. Okay? Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory in the high. To God be glory forever. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to Christ Jesus. To God be glory forever. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to the Spirit. To God be glory forever. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Great. Very good. Let's try another one, perhaps a little bit quieter. And again, the notes go up and down. We start somewhere here, go up there, and come back down again. Two words, okay. Indian words from one of the Indian languages. India is as big as Europe, if not bigger, and the number of languages is just beyond count. And so here we are from southern India. My language is Punjabi. I see other Indians in the congregation. What's your language then?
Tamil.
Tamil, okay. We're closer to Tamil with Yezuve Saranam, aren't we? So Yezuve means Jesus. Sara means everything. Nam is name. So, Jesus, I offer you everything that my name holds. That's our prayerful song. Yezuve Saranam. I sing a line, you repeat it after me. Yezuve Saranam, Saranam Yezuve. Yezuve Saranam, Saranam Yesuve, Yesuve 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 Saranam, Saranam Yesuve. Lovely, thank you. Let's now bless each other by saying the word of grace to each other, and then those who are going to continue their journey this morning in another room, they will leave us now, and then we will continue with the readings after that. So let's bless each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. And those who are going to go out now, we'll see you later on. Thank you. And we'll have our readings. Thank you.
And the reading, as you can see on the screen, is taken from 1 Corinthians, verse 12, chapter 12, even, 31b to 14:1a, and it's the New Revised Standard Version. And I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For now, only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to the end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I become an adult, I put an end to the childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and The greatest of these is love. Pursue love. Amen.
So thank you, Fred and Mary, for the reading. Great. It is indeed a great joy to share with you, and lovely to be in Whitney, where I've never been before. It's a beautiful looking place, and I want to talk with you, as I said, about sanctuary, but I'm going to talk a little bit about boats. Because boats are a big item on the news, aren't they? Small boats crossing the channels, you know, what should we be doing? And within that bigger debate, where are we as church? Why should we be bothered about boats and so on? So, can I just say, great to see you, Jude, you know, Jude Livermore. I mean, I have to acknowledge she's my boss. You know, she's the boss of all the Methodists, and so I have to behave myself. and great to see you, Val. And later on, after worship, I'm going to have lunch with Andrew and Julie Biggs, who you will know. Andrew and Julie came on a visit with me to India, and we've kept in touch, so that will be lovely. So I've got links here. And a great delight to be here. But looking at sanctuary, boats, and I want to use the words from 1 Corinthians 13, a more excellent way. Let me show you a more excellent way. As church, in the current context, in the debates that are going around, we ought to be able to say, here's another way of doing things. That we ought to be able to offer what I might call a more excellent way, a better way to behave as human beings. So loving, compassionate, welcoming responses to refugees, engaging with refugees, arriving in the UK across the English Channel. There are some really good responses to people who are coming here, and we are lighting up ways to challenge hostility with hospitality. There are congregations like Nailsea, a bit like you, I would say, just outside Bristol in the way you're just outside Oxford. And Nailsea Methodist Church have been engaging with asylum seekers in a hotel, and have really reached out to them, and they've become a church of sanctuary. Brighton and Hove Circuit, the whole of the circuit, all the churches have become churches of sanctuary. So they're a circuit of sanctuary. Derby Cathedral, Chester Cathedral, Norwich Cathedral, Dublin Cathedral, St. Patrick's. I could name quite a few. So there's a kind of a growing network now of churches of sanctuary. Their prophetic responses help to unpack a little bit of what could be defined a more excellent way, a way of love and compassion, challenging hostility with hospitality. And there is an award, a Church of Sanctuary Award, and it is given to congregation with a proven commitment to doing what they can to learn about the meaning of sanctuary in the way you're doing today and you have done, and working hard at embedding practices of hospitality and inclusion, and then sharing your learning with others and encouraging others to do that. And if you can demonstrate that, you get the Church of Sanctuary Award, And it's a marker along the way. The award is not a kind of, right, we're there. It's just saying, this is the journey we're on. Working with isolated, marginalized, much maligned communities. And the purpose is to do all we can to ensure that people seeking sanctuary among us have the protective hospitality in communities and cultures of welcome and hospitality. So this, I would say, is a constructive example of standing up to some of the quite racist rhetoric and behavior around refugees. And you're going to see more of that as we go towards elections which are coming up. But Church of Sanctuary is a faith-based initiative, a faith-based response to the declared intention of our governments to build hostile environments, to do all we can to deter people, to stop them coming here. And even £600 million have been given over to do what you can to stop the boats. Stop those boats coming here. Do whatever we can to make sure they don't get here. So deterrence is really what is being proposed within government. I'm deeply troubled by the kind of polarizing effect that has on communities, and we can see that. I mean, I'm nothing against flag, but I find them quite intimidating in the way they're being used at the moment. They ought to be icons of joy and belonging, and not excluding and intimidation. And a hostile environment includes vilification of maybe some of the most hurt people, traumatized by war and violence, crossing over in small boats. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, 90% of the world's refugees are fleeing war and violence. Okay, if that's the case, then I would say the challenge for us is not to stop the boats, but to stop the wars. If it's the wars that people are running from to escape and to come here, stop the wars. That's what we should be investing in. So boats, to go back to boats, they are prominent in politics at the moment. And boats is a kind of a phrase we use, isn't it? When we talk, for example, in COVID, we're all in the same boat. I don't know about you, but one of the first things I ever learned to make as a child was a boat with paper. Here's one I prepared earlier. Okay. Can you do that? Can you make one of these? And although I was under 5, probably, when I learned to make these first, I can still make them. And I never realized when I was making them all those years ago what an important part it would be in all that I do. And boats feature prominently in Jesus' ministry. He spent a lot of time on boats. Sometimes he preached in boats. The logo of churches is a boat, isn't it? Here's an example. Can you see on that? Churches together in England, the little boat with the cross as the mast. The World Council of Churches logo is like that also. A small boat floating on the ocean of the world with the mast, with the cross as a kind of a mast, symbolizing faith and unity. Long time ago, when I was training for ministry, I read a book, and in there, they were given different models of church. The two main ones, one was a boat. Where does that come from? Why do you think the boat should be a symbol of church? Why does a boat appear so prominently? Is it the ark, Noah's ark? Is that where we get it from? And so the writer says that the boat is a symbol of church because, well, the mission of the church in this image is to get everyone into our boat. That's what it's about. This is the boat, the ark of salvation, our task. That's what we're here for as a church. Go out there and get everybody into our boat. Yep, that's one model of church. The other model he held up was a direction, like an arrow, that's where we're going. That's more about a movement. And Methodists talk about being a movement. And it's what's the direction we're going in? And a movement is a collection of small congregations and then circuits all working together toward a common purpose, going in a particular direction. Maybe that's where we are as a Methodist church, looking at being a movement and how all our congregations work together and build this network. And I'm talking about building a network of sanctuary. So that's the kind of theme here. The sad thing is boats in the news and in the media are currently not good boats, bad boats, many of them capsized. You might be wondering what the heck I'm wearing this rope for around my neck. It's a rope I picked up on a boat on a small island called Lampedusa, where I went on behalf of the church. And Lampedusa is literally a small piece of rock in the middle of the Mediterranean. And one day, people on the island began to see all these bodies washing ashore. I'm going back to October 2013. And sure enough, that's exactly what had happened. A boat carrying refugees from Libya and Tunisia was coming up towards Europe. It capsized and nearly everybody on it drowned. What had happened was they'd got a bit cold, the people there. They lit a fire. The fire went out of control and they all moved over to one side. The boat turned over and nearly everybody on the boat drowned, and people were washing ashore on the island. And on the island, in the harbor, there is what's called a boat cemetery, and all the boats which have capsized off the island are abandoned there. There are dozens of boats in that harbor. And when I was on Lampedusa, I went onto the boat, the original boat I'm talking about, and had a look, and I picked up this rope, and I thought, I wonder what this rope was used for. And if this rope could speak, what stories would it tell about the people who were on that boat? And so I wear it as a stole. I've got some beautiful stoles, but I put them away, and I wear this because a stole represents the ministry of Christ, the cross of Christ, and I'll wear this as my prayer, as a symbol of my ministry, as long as this is going on in our world today. An overturned boat, it's a tragic image, isn't it? Represents harm and danger. But when a boat has turned over, intriguingly, it also has the shape of a dome. It's like a bit like that shelter symbol that we talked about earlier, which is the logo of Church of Sanctuary. And if you look at churches, look, is that like an upside down boat that we're sitting under? It comes into our architecture. Look at that shape, that arch. How many places it appears in our church. It's all around us. Where you're sitting, the nave, where we get the word navigation from, the way church is arranged, it's about being in a boat. We're going on a journey, and where is this boat going to? We're all going to heaven. That's the architecture and ecclesiology of church. It's there. We can't be surrounded by all these images of church around us, with so much of it in our language, in our church liturgy and ecclesiology, and architecture, we can't be surrounded with boats and not really give attention to them. My question is, how can people have a safety, safe routes? How can a boat become a symbol of safety again, salvation, of being rescued, of being saved? And what part can churches play in this? And maybe, how can something that's upside down actually, how can we maybe turn things around and turn them upside down to look at them and to look at how those things which are symbols of harm become symbols of safety? So how can we bring safety in situations of harm and danger, and what role can we play in building communities and cultures of sanctuary, protective hospitality? Hospitality is not what you do for other people. It's not a patronizing one-way process. There's a mutuality. And biblically, hospitality is about protection. How do we give protection to people and play our part in building sanctuary? So there are different strategies being held up, as I said, in our world today in relation to boats carrying refugees seeking sanctuary across troubled waters. Well, I've got a faith-based strategy, and I want to just leave that with you. So what does a more excellent way mean? If you look at that psalm, 1 Corinthians 13, it's probably one of the most familiar passages in Scripture, a bit like the Beatitudes or the Lord's Prayer. We all know about 1 Corinthians 13, don't we? The parable of the Good Samaritan. Some familiar passages in Scripture. These words from 1 Corinthians 13, a beautiful biblical poem, it's a shame that it's confined to be read in wedding ceremonies. Those words originally were written to give direction to congregations struggling to discern their best gifts and calling and how to use their gifts in situations of conflict where there were opposing and different views. So 1 Corinthians 13 prioritizes love. We started with the last verse of chapter 12 because it says, I want to show you a more excellent way. Because they're all arguing about what's the best way. He said, I want to show you a more excellent way. And then he writes about love. And then finishes by saying, so pursue love. And what does he say? Firstly, it says that without love, everything we say, all strategies are a shame. Words, however angelic and well-meaning they might be, without love are hollow, hollow rhetoric, like noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. Secondly, it says, love has to be shown. It's not enough to say to somebody, I love you. You've got to express love, show some respect, show kindness, patience, humility, truthfulness, bearing with one another. One of the versions of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, there is nothing love cannot face. It faces up to all things in life. And thirdly, it says that love is eternal. It endures. It never ends. The Greek word which is used to describe love is pipto. It means it doesn't stumble. It doesn't trip up. And there's no other gift that is so complete as love. No other gift compares to love. So pursue love. We aim at love. We grow toward it, however imperfect our efforts are. It's an ongoing, endless pathway completed in eternity. So, my friends, how can we respond to people seeking sanctuary and consider strategies enshrined in love, what would you say? What would you offer as a most loving way to be church in these circumstances? Is it not part of our calling to call for a politics of love? Wouldn't it be great if whenever a politician speaks, they speak of love and how to make everybody safe? As the bishop said to the president, in the name of God, have mercy now. Show mercy to those whose lives are the most vulnerable. So for me, the way ahead, the way to express love in church, the model I offer is a church of sanctuary, a faith-based initiative, a call to prophetic witness, an expression of solidarity, hospitality as a clear challenge to hostility. It's about inclusion of all, valuing everyone's gifts and contributions. So, what do you think? Maybe the most repeated ethical command in the Bible. Only once in the Bible do we read in Hebrews, in Hebrew scripture, verse 18, what's called the words love you. 40 times we read there, you shall also love the alien, the stranger, the foreigner. And we hardly ever give attention to that most repeated ethical command. And that's where I'm asking us to focus. A church of sanctuary, then if you're part of the work, a movement to build cultures of welcome and hospitality, engaging in more informed ways with some quite serious issues, connecting refugees and people seeking sanctuary to support and networks. So my friends, buildings are wonderful sanctuaries, but what I'm talking about is a sanctuary in community. Us, in the shelter of people. Individual congregations can be churches of sanctuary, but if we work together as a community, as a network, it's much stronger, and there is a two-way process of mutuality and solidarity. So with all your good work, your ongoing good work with refugees, you are a church of sanctuary. I would say to you, apply for it. You know, send me the application and I can have a look at it. And human warmth and welcome are the sanctuary that we all can offer each other, learning and working together to grow cultures of welcome and hospitality. It's a rewarding thing, and we can be sanctuary to each other. The book that was held up before you earlier, the way it's been written is that it's about getting congregations to sit with each other and to look at the biblical roots of what I'm talking about. There are four sections in here, and you might like to look at in Advent, 4 weeks of Advent, or Lent, or 4 weeks leading up to Refugee Week, and look at the biblical roots of what hospitality and sanctuary for all means. Thank you for all you do, and knowing of the work you do, being a church of sanctuary would uphold your values and bring you to build and strengthen and affirm your values, your leadership, and your contribution. And it will strengthen the foundations and the pathways of love for us and for others, a lasting legacy. I commend you for all your good work, and I assure you of my prayerful solidarity. And any way I can be of assistance, please do get in touch with me, and I'll be there. We're going to sing a hymn, and the hymn is, Lord, you have come to the seashore. And it's a really chanty hymn. You feel like you're in a boat and singing as you go along, and centers on Jesus and the boats. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pause for prayer. So let us pray. Thank you.
When I say God hears our prayers, can we all respond with, the kingdom of God is among us. God hears our prayers, the kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray to God for the Church of Christ throughout the world, and especially this gathering with its diversity and our neighbours of all denominations and different faiths, that all shall be blessed by the grace of God, and that all will be given strength to bear witness to the grace of God in our mission and ministry, worship and prayer. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray to God for all nations and all leaders, that God will illuminate within and before them the pathways made of justice, mercy and humility for all to walk and to build peace. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray for an end to all hostility, war and violence, giving thanks for all who uphold and bear witness to the things that make for peace. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray to God for all who need help and support today, especially those we carry in our hearts, for they are in our prayers, that the grace of God will be on them and bless them. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray to God for all who are far from home, students, prisoners, immigrants, exiles, refugees, and all who seek sanctuary, that God will be the shelter of their lives and souls, and help us to build communities of welcome, hospitality, and sanctuary for all. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us pray to God for ourselves, that we may be sanctuary, that we may be given the grace to follow Christ and practice his heart of hospitality and welcome to the stranger. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. Let us hold before God those who have died and whose memory is precious to us, remembering especially those who gave their lives for justice and peace, and those who have died in their pursuit of safety. Grant them peace. Give strength to all who are bereaved. Bless all who mourn the loss of their homes and livelihood. And grant to us wisdom and encouragement from the vision, witness, and example of all the saints who have gone before us. God hears our prayers. The kingdom of God is among us. We offer our prayers in the name of Christ and sum them up in the words that Jesus taught us. If you all say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you. And we'll close with a song, which is the only hymn I know which talks about cities of sanctuary and its beauty for brokenness. Thank you. So I'm closing with a blessing, the blessing of Saint Hilda. Have peace with each other as children of one mother. Let peace defer to each other, and may your hearts be one. Have peace with all around you, sweet love of the earth surround you, and may no harm afflict you or break your strength. Have peace in God, your Maker. Let Jesus be partaker, and in the Spirit, the consecrator. God, three in one, grant you peace. So the peace of God possess you, the love of God caress you, the grace of heaven bless you, and bless you kindly. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.